The stench of death had long since seeped into my pores. 23 years I'd worked at Hartley's family slaughterhouse, and the smell of blood and offal had become as similar to me as my own sweat. I had started there fresh out of high school, desperate for any job that would pay the bills. Now at 41, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. The work was hard, grueling even, but there was a simplicity to it that I appreciated. Day in and day out, I'd stand at my station, knife in hand, and do what needed to be done. The animals came in alive and left as neatly packaged cuts of meat. It wasn't pretty, but it was honest work. Hartley's wasn't a big operation. We served the local community, processing livestock from the surrounding farms. Old Man Hartley had run the place since before I was born, and his son Jim had taken over about a decade ago. It wasn't glamorous, but it was steady work. And in a small town like ours, that counted for a lot. I remember the day everything changed. It was a Tuesday, unseasonably cold for September. I just finished my shift and was heading out to my truck when I saw Jim standing in the parking lot, looking like he had seen a ghost. "Everything all right, boss?" I called out, fishing my keys from my pocket. Jim startled, as if he hadn't noticed me approaching. "Oh, hey, Mike. Yeah, everything's fine, just fine." I had known Jim long enough to know when he was lying. "Come on, Jim, what's eating you?" He sighed, running a hand through his thinning hair. "We got an offer today to buy the plant." I felt my stomach drop. "What? Who'd want to buy us out?" "Some big corporation, Nexus Protein Solutions, they called themselves." Jim shook his head. "Never heard of them before, but they're offering way more than this place is worth. Dad's thinking of taking the deal." "But what about the workers? What about the community?" I couldn't keep the concern out of my voice. Jim shrugged helplessly. "They say they'll keep everyone on, modernize the place, increase production. Could be good for the town, bring in more jobs." I wanted to argue, to tell him that it was a bad idea, but I could see the defeat in his eyes. The decision had already been made. 3 weeks later, Hartley's family slaughterhouse became a subsidiary of Nexus Protein Solutions. At first, not much changed. We got new uniforms, sleek black affairs with the Nexus logo emblazoned on the back. Some new equipment was brought in, shiny and efficient, but the work remained largely the same. Then came the new protocols. It started small. We were told to wear earplugs at all times on the kill floor. When I asked why, the new floor manager, a severe woman named Miss Vance, simply said it was for our own protection. I didn't argue. The constant bellowing of cattle and squealing of pigs had long since damaged my hearing anyways. Next came the masks. Not your standard dust masks, but heavy-duty respirators that covered half our faces. Again, Miss Vance cited safety concerns, something about airborne pathogens. It made communication on the floor nearly impossible, but we adapted. The real changes began about 2 months after the takeover. I arrived for my shift one Monday morning to find the entire layout of the plant had been altered. Where before we had had straightforward progression from holding pens to kill floor to processing, now there were new sections, areas cordoned off with heavy plastic sheeting. "What's all this?" I asked Tommy, one of the younger guys who worked the gun station. He shrugged, eyes darting nervously.
New processing area, I guess. They brought in a bunch of new equipment over the weekend. Didn't you get the memo about the new procedures?
I hadn't, but I soon found out. We were divided into teams now, each responsible for a specific part of the process. No one is allowed to move between sections without express permission from Miss Vance or one of her assistants. My team was assigned to what they called primary processing. It was familiar work. Stunning, bleeding, initial butchery. But something felt off. The animals coming through seemed different. Larger than normal, with strange proportions. When I mentioned it to Miss Vance, she fixed me with a cold stare.
Are you questioning the quality of our livestock, Michael?
She asked, her voice dripping with disdain.
No, ma'am, I replied. Just an observation.
She nodded curtly.
Your job is to process, not observe. Is that clear?
I muttered my assent and returned to my work, but the unease lingered. As the days wore on, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was deeply wrong. The sounds that escaped my earplugs were different, not the normal lowing of cattle or squealing of pigs, but something else entirely. Something that raised the hair on the back of my neck. One night, about a month into the new regime, I was working late. Most of the other workers had gone home, but I had volunteered for overtime. Money was tight, and Nexus paid well for extra hours. I was just finishing up, hosing down my station, when I heard it. A scream. Human. Terrified. I froze. The hose slipped from my grip. It couldn't be. We were a slaughterhouse, yes, but we dealt in animals, not... I shook my head, trying to clear it. I must have imagined it. A trick of the mind after a long shift. But then I heard it again. Muffled, distant, but unmistakable. A human voice, crying out in agony. My heart pounding, I moved towards the sound. It was coming from one of the new sections, an area I had never been allowed to enter. The plastic sheeting that separated it from the main floor was opaque, but I could see shadows moving behind it, backlit by harsh fluorescent lights. I reached out, my hand trembling, and grasped the edge of the sheeting. Every instinct screamed at me to turn back, to forget what I had heard and go home. But I couldn't. I had to know. Slowly, carefully, I peeled back the plastic and peered inside. What I saw in that moment would haunt me for the rest of my life. The room beyond was filled with stainless steel tables, each bearing a form that was horrifyingly familiar yet grotesquely wrong. They were human in shape, but twisted, mutated. Extra limbs sprouted from torsos, skin molted with patches of fur or scales. And they were alive, writhing in restraints, their cries muffled by gags. Standing over one of the tables was Miss Vance, her face obscured by a surgical mask. In her hand was a wicked-looking blade, poised to make an incision in the creature before her. I must have made a sound, a gasp, a whimper, I don't know. Because suddenly her head snapped up, her eyes looking into mine. For a moment, we stared at each other. The truth of what I had discovered hanging between us like a guillotine blade. Then she smiled, a cold, terrible smile that never reached her eyes.
Ah, Michael,
she said, her voice unnaturally calm.
I was wondering when you would find your way here. Come in, won't you? We have much to discuss.
I stumbled backward, my mind reeling. This couldn't be happening. It couldn't be real. but as I turned to flee, I found my path blocked by two massive figures in black uniforms. Security guards I'd never seen before, their eyes hidden behind dark glasses. Now, Miss Vance's voice drifted from behind me. There's no need for alarm. You're one of the most valuable employees, Michael. It's time that you learn the truth about the Nexus Protein Solutions and the important work we do here. As the guards gripped my arms, dragging me back towards that nightmarish room, I realized with horrible clarity that my life as I knew it was over. Whatever laid ahead, whatever sick truths I was about to learn, I knew I would never be the same. The plastic sheeting fell back into place behind us, cutting off my last view of the familiar world I had known. Ahead lay only darkness, the unknown, and the terrifying certainty that I was about to become part of something monstrous. The guards forced me into a chair, their grip unnaturally strong. Miss Vance circled me slowly, her heels clicking on the floor. I tried to avoid looking at the tables, at the things strapped to them, but their muffled cries pierced through my shock.
"I suppose you have questions," Miss Vance asked, her voice clinically detached. "That's natural. What you're seeing challenges everything you thought you knew about the world."
I found my voice, though it came out as a hoarse whisper.
"What are they?"
She smiled, a cold expression that never reached her eyes. "The future of food production, Michael. Humanity's answer to an ever-growing population of dwindling resources." My stomach churned.
You're processing people?"
"Not people, exactly," she corrected. "Though they started as human, yes. We've made some significant improvements. Faster growth, more efficient conversion of feed to meat, specialized organ development for luxury markets."
I shook my head, trying to deny the horror before me.
"This is insane. It's evil. You can't..."
"Can't what?" Miss Vance interrupted sharply. "Feed the hungry? Solve the looming food crisis? What we're doing here is necessary, Michael. Visionary, even."
She gestured to one of the writhing forms.
"Each of these specimens can produce 10 times the usable meat of a cow with half the feed. They reach maturity in months, not years. And the best part? They're renewable."
My eyes widened in horror as her meaning sank in.
"You're not just killing them, you're harvesting them over and over."
Miss Vance nodded, a hint of pride in her voice.
"Accelerated healing, enhanced regeneration. We could harvest up to 80% of their biomass and have them back to full size within weeks. It's a marvel of bioengineering."
I felt bile rise in my throat.
"Why are you telling me this? Why not just get rid of me?"
She laughed, a sound devoid of warmth.
"Because you're observant, Michael. Dedicated. You've been here for over 2 decades and you notice things others missed. We need people like you."
"I'll never be a part of this," I spat. "I'll go to the police, the media."
"And tell them what?" She interrupted. "That the local slaughterhouse is raising mutant humans for meat? Who would believe you? Besides..."
Her voice lowered menacingly.
"We have resources you can't imagine. Ways of ensuring cooperation."
She nodded to one of the guards, who produced a syringe filled with some kind of liquid.
"This is a choice, Michael. Join us willingly and you'll be rewarded beyond your wildest dreams. Refuse?"
The guard grabbed my arm, needle poised above my skin.
"Wait!" I shouted. I need time to think."
Miss Vance studied me for a moment, then nodded.
"Very well. You have until tomorrow night to decide. But remember, Michael, there's no going back now. One way or another, you're a part of this.
The next day passed in a haze. I went through the motions of my job, my mind reeling. Every sound, every smell reminded me of what I had seen. The other workers seemed oblivious, going about their tasks as if nothing had changed. Had they been bought off, threatened? Or were they simply unaware of the horrors taking place beyond those plastic sheets? As my shift neared its end, dread settled in my stomach like a lead weight. I knew I couldn't be part of this atrocity, but what choice did I have? Even if half of what Miss Van said was true, Nexus had the power to destroy me, or worse. I was mulling over my impossible situation when I noticed something odd. A new worker, someone I had never seen before, was wheeling a large covered cart towards one of the restricted areas. What caught my eye was a small symbol on his uniform. Not the Nexus logo, but something else. A stylized eye within a triangle. The man must have felt my gaze because he turned, his eyes meeting mine for a brief moment. He gave an almost imperceptible nod before disappearing behind the plastic sheeting. A wild hope flared in my chest. Could there be others who knew the truth? Were they working against Nexus from the inside? My decision crystallized in that moment. I couldn't run, I couldn't hide. But maybe, just maybe, I could fight back. When Miss Vance summoned me that evening, I steeled myself for the performance of my life. "I'm in," I told her, forcing conviction into my voice. "You're right, this is necessary. Visionary. I want to be a part of it." She studied me for a long moment, her gaze piercing. Then, slowly, she smiled. "I knew you'd see reason, Michael. Welcome to the future." Over the next few weeks, I was introduced to the full scope of Nexus's operation. The horrors I had initially witnessed were just the tip of the iceberg. There were entire floors dedicated to genetic manipulation, to behavioral conditioning, to processing the product into forms indistinguishable from conventional meat. I played my part, feigning enthusiasm, asking the right questions. All the while, I watched and waited, looking for any sign of the mysterious worker I had seen, for any hint of resistance within Nexus's sterile walls. It came, finally, in the form of a note slipped into my locker. Two words written in a hasty scrawl. "Loading dock, midnight." As the appointed hour approached, I made my way through the darkened facility, my heart pounding. I had disabled the security cameras along my route, a trick I'd learned in my new role, but I still felt exposed, vulnerable. The loading dock was shrouded in shadows, illuminated only by the dim glow of emergency lighting. For a moment, I thought I may have made a mistake, that I had misunderstood or fallen into a trap. Then a figure emerged from behind a stack of pallets. It was the worker I had seen, his face now uncovered. He was younger than I had expected, with intense eyes that seemed to glow with the low light.
"You came," he said, his voice barely above a whisper. "Good, we don't have much time."
"Who are you?" I asked. "What's going on?" He glanced nervously over his shoulder.
"My name's Alex. I'm part of a group working to expose Nexus and shut down their operation. We've been trying to gather evidence, but it's been nearly impossible to get someone on the inside."
Hope surged within me. "I can help. I've seen things, documented."
Alex held up his hand, cutting me off. "It's not that simple. Nexus has people everywhere. Government, media, law enforcement.
in a way that it can't be blocked or discredited. He pressed a small device into my hand. This is a secure communicator. Use it to contact us, but be careful. They're always watching. Before I could ask him more questions, Alex tensed, his eyes widening. Someone's coming. I have to go. Remember, trust no one. He melted back into the shadows, leaving me alone with more questions than answers. As I hurried back to my station, my mind raced. I had found allies, yes, but I was also in more danger than ever. One wrong move, one slip at the mask, and I'd end up on one of those tables, just another piece of product to be processed. The next few days were a delicate balance of maintaining my cover while trying to gather information for Alex and his group. I smuggled out documents, took covert photos, and recorded conversations when I could. All the while, the horrors of what Nexus was doing weighed on me. It wasn't just the genetic manipulation and the harvesting. I discovered entire wings dedicated to psychological experimentation, to breaking down and rebuilding human minds. I saw children, or what had once been children, being conditioned to accept their fate as little more than living meat factories. Each night, I'd return to my small apartment, fighting the urge to scrub my skin raw, to somehow wash away the taint of what I had witnessed. The secure communicator Alex had given me remained silent, offering no guidance, no hope of rescue. Then, exactly 1 week before my midnight meeting with Alex, everything went to hell. I was in one of the processing areas, documenting a new batch of specimens, when alarms began blaring throughout the facility. Red lights flashed, and a computerized voice announced a security breach. For a moment, I dared to hope. Had Alex and his group finally made their move? But as armed security forces swarmed into the area, I realized with growing horror that this was something else entirely. They weren't heading to the restricted areas or the executive offices. They were converging on the main production floor, where the regular workers, oblivious to Nexus's true nature, were going about their normal shifts. I raced towards the commotion, my heart pounding. As I bursted through a set of double doors, I was met with a scene of utter chaos. Workers were screaming, running in panic as security forces rounded them up with brutal efficiency. And overseeing it all, her face a mask of cold fury, was Miss Vance. Her eyes locked onto mine as I entered.
"Michael," she called out, her voice cutting through the din. "So good of you to join us. We seem to have a bit of a contamination issue."
I froze, my blood running cold. Contamination? They were going to eliminate everyone who wasn't already part of their inner circle? As security forces began herding workers towards the restricted areas, towards those horrible tables, I knew I had to act. But what could I do against an army of armed guards? My hand brushed against the communicator in my pocket. It was a long shot, but it was all I had. As Miss Vance turned to bark orders at her security team, I pulled out the device and pressed what I hoped was the distress signal. Then, taking a deep breath, I stepped forward. "Miss Vance," I called out, trying to keep my voice steady. "What's going on? How could I help?" She regarded me coldly.
"That remains to be seen, Michael. It seems we have a spy in our midst. Someone has been feeding information to some very bothersome people."
My heart raced, but I forced myself to remain calm. "A spy? That's impossible. Who would dare?"
"Indeed," she mused. "Who would dare? Rest assured, we will find out. In the meantime, we're implementing Protocol Omega, Total Reset."
The implications of her words hit me like a physical blow. They were going to process everyone, start over with a completely clean slate. Hundreds of innocent workers, people I had known for years, were about to be turned into the very products they had been unknowingly creating. I opened my mouth, though I had no idea what I was going to say. But before I could utter a word, a massive explosion rocked the building. The lights flickered and died, plunging us into total darkness, broken only by the emergency lighting and the red glow of alarm beacons. In the chaos that followed, I heard Miss Vance shouting orders, her composure finally cracking. Security forces scrambled, torn between containing the workers and responding to this new threat. Another explosion, closer this time. I was thrown to the ground, my ears ringing. Through the smoke and confusion, I saw figures moving with purpose. Not Nexus security, but others, faces obscured by gas masks. A hand gripped my arm, hauling me to my feet. I found myself face to face with Alex, his eyes visible behind his mask.
"Time to go,"
he shouted over the din. "Your distress call worked. We need to get as many people out of here as we can." As we ran through the smoke-filled corridors, helping dazed workers find their way to the emergency exits, I realized that this wasn't an ending. It was a beginning. Nexus was bigger than this one facility, the tendrils reaching far and wide. What we had done here tonight will strike the first blow in what will be a long, difficult battle. But as I emerged into the cool night air, gulping in breaths free from the stench of death and chemicals, I felt something I hadn't experienced in a long time. Hope. Whatever came next, whatever horrors still laid ahead, I was no longer alone in the fight. The war against Nexus had begun, and I was ready to see it through to the bitter end. The months following the destruction of the Nexus facility was a whirlwind of activity. Alex's group, which I learned was called the Prometheus Alliance, had cells all over the country. They had been working for years to uncover and expose Nexus's operations, but our breakthrough had accelerated their plans. I found myself at the center of all of it. My years of experience in the industry, combined with the insider knowledge I'd gained, made me an invaluable asset. I worked tirelessly, followed leads, gathering evidence, and planned our next moves. It wasn't easy. Nexus's influence ran deep, and for every facility we exposed, two more seemed to pop up. We faced constant danger, assassination attempts, smear campaigns, and worse. I lost count of the times we narrowly escaped capture or death. But we were making progress. Slowly but surely, we were chipping away at Nexus's empire. Independent journalists began picking up our leads, and public awareness grew. Protests erupted outside Nexus-owned businesses. Governments launched investigations. The turning point came almost a year after our escape. We had managed to trace Nexus's operations to its source, a massive underground complex hidden beneath its innocuous building in downtown Chicago. This was their nerve center, where the top executives and lead scientists oversaw the entire operation. Our assault on the complex was the accumulation of months of planning. We had allies in law enforcement, in the media, even in government. When we struck hard and fast. I'll never forget the moment we breached that main laboratory. It was like stepping into a nightmare made real. Rows upon rows of tanks filled with grotesque human-animal hybrids in various stages of development. Scientists in hazmat suits scurried about, desperately trying to destroy evidence. And there, in the center of all of it, was Miss Vance. She stood calmly amidst the chaos, a slight smile on her face as she watched us enter.
"Aha, Michael,"
she said, her voice as cold and composed as ever. I must admit, I underestimated you. Well played. Before I could respond, before any of us could move, she pressed a button on a device in her hand. Alarms blared, and a computerized voice announced the initiation of a self-destruct sequence.
You may have won this battle,
Miss Vance said as security doors began to shut around us. But Nexus is bigger than this facility, bigger than you could imagine. We will rise again. In the frantic minutes that followed, we managed to override the self-destruct sequence and secure the facility. Miss Vance and several other top Nexus executives were taken into custody. More importantly, we were able to save hundreds of victims, both the fully human prisoners and the genetically modified beings who still retained enough of their humanity to be saved. The data we recovered from the complex was damning. It provided irrefutable proof of Nexus's crimes, implicating government officials, business leaders, and others who had enabled their operation. The resulting scandal rocketed the world. In the weeks and months that followed, Nexus's empire crumbled. Facilities were shut down across the globe. Arrests were made at all levels of the organization. The full scope of their atrocities was laid bare for the world to see. But our work was far from over. The victims, those who could be saved, needed extensive rehabilitation. The genetically modified beings posed ethical and logical challenges unlike anything the world had ever seen before. And there were still Nexus loyalists out there, working to rebuild from the shadows. 5 years had passed since that night in Chicago. I'm no longer the man I was when I first stumbled upon Nexus's secrets. The horrors I'd witnessed have left their mark, but so too has the good we have managed to do. The Prometheus Alliance had transitioned from a shadowy resistance group to a recognized humanitarian organization. We worked to rehabilitate Nexus victims, to advocate for stricter regulations on genetic research, and to remain vigilant against any reassurance of Nexus or similar groups. As for me, I found myself in an unexpected role, a spokesman, an advocate, a link between the victims and a world still struggling to understand the magnitude of what had happened. It's not an easy job, but it's important work. Sometimes, in quiet moments, I think back to my days at the slaughterhouse. How simple things seemed then, how naive I was. I remember the day Nexus took over, the slow descent into horror that followed. Part of me wishes I could go back, could warn my younger self of what was to come. But then I think of the lives we had saved, the evil we had stopped, and I know I wouldn't change a thing. The world knows the truth now. We're no longer fighting in the shadows. There are still hard days, still battles to be fought. Nexus may be gone, but the temptation to abuse science, to treat human life as a commodity, that will always exist. But now at least we're ready. We're watching. And we'll never let something like Nexus rise again. As I stand here today, looking out of a room full of survivors, human and hybrid alike, preparing to share their stories to the world, I feel something I hadn't felt in years. Pride. We've come so far, overcome so much. And while the scars may never fully heal, we face the future with hope, determination, and the unshakable knowledge that, together, we may overcome even the darkest of evils. The nightmare of Nexus is over. A new day has dawned, and we'll be here, standing guard, for whatever comes next.